Western Nebraska is a realm of never-ending surprises. From the diversity of its environment, where rolling hills are suddenly interrupted by towering sandstone bluffs and spires, and even the largest hand-planted forest in North America. The sand hills of western Nebraska are a mesmerizing, undulating, grass-covered landscape that is a destination draw in its own right. I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in western Nebraska, a discovery of the exceptionally friendly and authentic people who serve as iconic metaphors for the best and finest of the phrase, the heartland of America. As these are people who live and thrive in a realm that's not only geographically miles and miles from frenetic urban America, they also inhabit agrarian-based towns and villages where all of the attributes of a long-vanished America still thrives. Next stop is Alliance, Nebraska, where we'll visit with Becky Thomas, the director of the Knight Museum and Sand Hill Center. Becky talks about the museum, but far more touching for me personally was when she shared her insights into life in Alliance, where the long-lost Mid-America qualities of Mayberry RFD lives on.
My name is Becky Thomas, and I'm the director of the Knight Museum and Sand Hill Center in Alliance, Nebraska.
Becky, I got to admit that yesterday I was out at Carhand, and a guy told me about the Knight Museum in Alliance. And I thought, oh, so for some reason they only have
it's
to open.
It's medieval.
Well, I thought they had to open after sunset. So you get that, too. You get people thinking you have the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, we get people walking in wanting to know where our suit of armor is. Mm-hmm.
So what do you have? You have some really special stuff here. You really do.
We are a pioneer historical museum, and we talk about western Nebraska and the Sand Hills. We feature Alliance in Box Butte County.
Tell us about some of the particulars. You have some wonderful, historic, authentic stuff dating back to the Indian days.
We talk about five major topics. We talk about the Sand Hills, which is an area that most people who don't live in western Nebraska or in the middle of the United States really know what it even is. So we talk about that. That was a gift to our benefactor, Martha Eldred. That was very important to her. We talk about the Native American tribes, and our tribe here locally is the Lakota, both Pine Ridge and Rosebud tribes. Then we talk about life in the country and life in town and the railroad and how it ties it all together because we are a railroad town.
And that really was part of its founding roots, wasn't it?
We are only here because the railroad needed a junction. And they were the major landowner at the beginning, and they're the ones that plotted out the town and said, we will put a town here, and here we are.
This is a town that survives and thrives and has a real palpable pride to it.
It definitely does. For a town of 8,400, we have humongous amenities. I mean, just this museum alone, we have one of the nicest park systems in the state of Nebraska.
And why is that? How did that happen?
We had a park superintendent back in the day who couldn't plant enough and couldn't make it pretty enough. And also, our park system is part of the WPA project. Almost everything out here is built out of recycled concrete. All of our retaining walls, all of our original sunken garden, our original pool, everything was built as a WPA project in 1932, including the General Electric Fountain, which is one of the three fountains left in Nebraska.
What an incredible legacy of a federal government program that actually worked.
It did. It actually worked, go figure, and we're much the better for it.
What an awesome legacy. Mm-hmm. And then I understand you have, in small little town, you have a killer state-of-the-art hospital that's going an expansion.
We have a huge hospital. It's a 50-bed hospital, but it's doing a $26 million expansion on it. We have traveling doctors that come from all over, so we can actually go see a specialist right here in our local hospital. Mm-hmm. We still have brick streets. We have hometown schools. There's no place in this town you can't walk. I mean, 3 miles by 4 miles, mm-hmm. anybody can walk that.
And it has that real sense of community that's intact. You were talking earlier, a story I haven't heard in years, and that's sending your kids out, and there are still people keeping an eye on.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, yes. I raised my children here. We're raising grandchildren here, my kids, and anywhere you go. Yesterday, a lady walked up to me and said, I saw your grandson at swimming lessons. He's doing really well. You know, how many people know who everybody's kids and grandkids are?
So they're totally busted if they think.
There's no getting away with anything here because you're busted. I actually live on the main street, and the kids from back in my grandparents' day. It's called Cruising the Butte. It's Box Butte Avenue, and that's where everybody goes on the weekends to cruise. And because I live right there, I have the porch light. And when my kids were growing up, if my porch light clicked and somebody was driving by, even if they weren't my kids, they better be stopping because somebody's mom wants a message. This was before cell phones. But yeah, it's a great small town. You're safe here. Our crime rate is low. Our people are happy. It's a marvelous place to raise young children.
You know what you're describing as a Mayberry RFD.
You know, exactly it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we've got a Barney and an Opie running around here somewhere. I know we have a Floyd. I've met him before. You know what it is? It's the life that a lot of people are looking. I have a young friend who lives in New York City who works for one of the major designers in New York City. And when the first time he traveled with this man and took a trip, the guy talked a lot about his home in Hyannisport and the loft in the city and blah, blah, blah. And then he asked the kid, he said, tell me about where you come from. And as he proceeded to tell him about this area here, this child lived 23 miles west here in a small town. He's telling him, and then gets done, he thinks, I've killed this job. This guy is going to think I'm a hick and isn't going to want me. And the guy says, you know what? You lived the life I've been trying to buy. And that's what I think about every time here. We live the life that people all across the country are looking for and are not finding in the cities.
Yeah, I think a lot of people presume that this is a lost era. This doesn't exist anymore. But here it is, palpably live and in color.
You know, the kids that live south of the museum, they walk by here on the way to the pool and they'll stop in to say hi. You know, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You know, a little girl stopped me the other day and she said, I think I know you. And I said, well, you probably do. And she said, oh, wait a minute, you're the crazy museum lady. And I said, yes, I am. And she said, I've been going to come and make an appointment to come visit you. Would that be okay? And I said, that would be marvelous. We really encourage them to care about it. The last question I ask school kids here is, who owns the museum? You get the, oh, you do. And I said, no, you do. This is your museum. This is your legacy. This is your life. You own it.
How precious.
We feel that way.
Yeah. And you let them know that.
Martha wanted this, when Martha Eldred rebuilt the museum, she wanted this to be a comfortable place. She didn't want us to dress up. Mm-hmm. She wanted us to make people comfortable when they come in, which is why we have her pondering parlor here, so you can sit down in an antique chair and think about the things you saw. And that's important to us, to be part of the people.
Right. Let's back up to her for a moment and share that legacy that she left to this entire community. Talk about her story for a moment.
About 10 or 11 years ago, she came to me one day. She was a very good friend of my family. We were distantly related. And she said, I'm trying to think about what to do with my stuff. And your mom says you have a nice place here. And I said, well, you know, we'd love to talk to you about it. So she sent her helicopter after me. You know, okay, that was my first helicopter ride. So I went down and we talked about it. And, you know, we ended up making 5 trips down there. And we hauled 24 loads of stuff back. She said, now what are you going to do with my stuff? And I said, well, Martha, I'm not real sure, but we'll think of something. She goes, let's build something. And when she clapped her little hands, you were in like Flynn. And you know, the next thing I know, we got a $5.3 million building with Smithsonian-style displays and the best of everything. This building is so technology, it's full of everything. She wanted Wi-Fi. How many 94-year-old ladies know what Wi-Fi is, let alone know how important it is to have? She wanted it to be an energy-efficient building. Her favorite expression was, I don't want my blessing to become a burden. And I thought that was a marvelous thing to do. Victor died, her husband Victor died before we got the building done. Martha got to see the building, but never got to see the finished display. But because we devoted a fifth of it to the Sandhills, I know she would be happy. Her only 2 requests were, talk about the Sandhills and don't put our name on it. She said, it might be my money, but I'm just a steward. And she truly believed that. So,
how wonderful. Yeah. I wish we could go on and on. And
I wish we could.
Well, we're going to do that. I'm going to come
okay.
back to Alliance and we're going to spend the day together.
I would love to do that anytime you want to.
All right.
My name is Becky Thomas from the Knight Museum in Alliance, Nebraska. And for further information, you can check us out on theknightmuseum.com.
Becky, thank you. And this is Tom Wilmer saying good night from Alliance, Nebraska.
Great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.